and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess.
Hello, and welcome to episode 179, the Getting Back on Board episode. I am sitting here at the dining room table. The Christmas tablecloth is gone. The punch bowl is gone. The Christmas silver. It's December 29th, and so Christmas is not over. We still have our tree up. That comes down January 1st. We still have stockings up, a few of them anyway, over the fireplace. Empty now. But I have reclaimed my space here in the L of the front room. Here at my dining room table, we have the Bernina set up, hooray, and I have scraps. I am doing some Virginia Finley Wolf creative play exercises, and I am sewing a lot of scraps together and then sewing those scraps to other scraps, and I'm making fabric. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I really enjoy this. It's good play. And it's fun, and I'm not worried too much. I'd like to do something with it, and I've got Victoria's books around, so perhaps after I've made some more fabric, I will make a quilt. I don't know. I would like, you know, I think about next year. Now, you know, I make resolutions that I do not keep. I was thinking today as I was taking my walk, it's interesting to think of the things that I do pretty much without thinking. One of those things would be walking almost every day. And of course, Travis and I take a daily morning walk. Sometimes this time of year, I actually like to sit around in the morning because I don't have to get up and take boys to school. And so our walk gets pushed back to the early evening, which I actually love. I actually love walking at sunset during December and the early part of January. The only problem is we've been getting lots of rain. And you know, I do not complain about the weather. And I certainly have no cause to complain given some of the really cruddy weather people have had this week in Alabama and Texas. So, but we've had a lot of rain, a whole bunch of rain. Today, Trav and I did get out. It was a little bit sunny and a little bit 75. That's about to go away, too. We had a warm, humid Christmas. We had a nice Christmas, though. I'm going to tell you something. Got a lot of great gifts. We didn't do anything big this year. No one got a car. No one got a phone. No one got any devices. I got a very pretty silver necklace with matching silver earrings from the man. I got all the books I asked for, plus some extras. I got silk long underwear, which right now I don't need, but is a wonderful thing. I highly recommend silk long underwear because it's not bulky at all. It feels good, and it does keep you really warm during the winter months. So what was my favorite Christmas present? I'm going to tell you. My favorite Christmas present was on Christmas Day, sitting on the couch, reading and listening to my sons joke around together in the other room. My sons are about 4 years apart, incredibly different personalities. They're both really nice guys. They both have lots of friends, but they don't really interact very much. They don't fight. They're not aggressive or ugly with each other. They just really, really don't talk to each other very much. But Travis is the glue that holds the world together, and certainly this family together. Well, maybe the man and I do a lot of that too. It's not really like the family's falling apart, but you know, in this conversation that they had, it wasn't long, but it was instigated by Jack. He said something funny about Travis. I didn't really catch it. And Will laughed and said something funny. And Jack laughed and says, and just went back like four lines. And I know you might be thinking, wow, that was your favorite Christmas present? That was the best, you know, your kids talking to each other? But yeah, if your kids don't really talk to each other and suddenly they're having this kind of natural brotherly moment, yeah, I thought it was great. It made me so happy. So we've had a nice Christmas, very relaxed, very laid back. And I have been reading a lot. I am right now reading the new Kate Morton, The Lake House. And I have to tell you, there are a couple of things going on with me right now. And one is I realize it's, you know, and this might be true for you too. I don't know. So many of you are really serious fiction readers. I feel like it takes me a while when I've got time to read fiction. If I haven't been reading fiction, it takes me a while to settle down into it. And it may, I don't feel like I'm on the internet that much, but I think enough. And like when I go, it's like I check out Facebook and I go on to Instagram, and maybe it's just, you're just going that, right? Your brain doesn't really have to land anywhere for any long period of time. So it may be that. I'm really rethinking my internet use. You know, as a reader, it's hard to stay away because there's so much great stuff to read on the internet, but I think it's disrupting my thinking. So it took me a little while to be able to settle down into any of my reading, but certainly my novels. And with The Lake House, even though I had started it, I got it from the library and started it and thought, oh, you know, I like this. I think I'm going to really like it. And so I turned it back in and asked for it for Christmas, thinking, what a wonderful holiday read. It took me about 60 pages where everything clicked in. And I don't know if it was me clicking in or the book clicking in. I can't decide. But once it clicked in, it really was about page 60 or 70. It's like now it's like, oh yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I'm enjoying all my books. I have to tell you about the couple of really neat things I got. I asked for them. I got it in my head a few weeks ago to go on eBay. I had read something about fabric scrapbooks, about quilters back in the day. I'm sure we people do it now. I don't. But keeping fabric scrapbooks for their quilts. And I thought, I wonder if you can find some fabric scrapbooks on eBay. Well, sure enough, I found one. Now, the description says it's from 18, that it was kept during, like, from 1880 to the early 1900s. It belongs to someone named Sophia Schaefer, and it's a teacher's fabric scrapbook. I don't quite understand entirely what it is, and I want to. I'm looking at it right now, so great sound effects for this very professional podcast I'm doing here. I want to, the next time I see my friend Lynn Gorgeous, who's, if you'll recall, is a quilt appraiser and quilt historian who I met this summer. I had met via email and had a phone conversation with over the spring via the American Quilt Study Group, and then went down to visit with her and look at all her marvelous quilts down in the eastern part of the state this summer. And I thought, you know, I bet if I showed this to Lynn, she would, one, kind of have a better idea of what it is than I do, and also could tell me how old this fabric is. So what it is a book. So it looks homemade. The covers are brown, and are in the whole thing. It has two holes punched in the covers and all the pages. It's all held together with the brown shoelace. You open it up, and the title page just says Sophia Schaefer, written in blue fountain pen. You get to page one. On the left, the first, what would you call it, spread. On the left is this piece of, it almost looks like burlap, with all these different styles of stitches. So on the right is a page with the heading school, model number one, and then over on the other side of the right says teacher 6A. Nine different stitches. Material, Aida canvas 4.5 by 7.5 inches. Tapestry needle number 21, mercerized cotton. Commence at center of canvas, 1 running stitch, 2 uneven basting, 3 back stitch, 4 overhand, etc. So actually all together we have, yes, we have 9 stitches, the last one being a blanket stitch. So it's this canvas, which looks to me somewhat like burlap, is glued. No, it's actually stitched. It's actually stitched to the paper. Different colors of thread are used to demonstrate these different stitches. They're all very neat stitches. They're quite lovely. The prettiest one is a feather stitch in a light blue. So I don't know if this is like someone who is learning to teach, like home economics, or was teaching, went into school and taught home economics, taught people how to sew. The second page is a school, model number two, teacher 6A, basting and running stitches. And it's all really cool looking, and I'll take some pictures, although, you know, I'm not a wonderful photographer. I know I took a picture today of it's model number five. It's a flannel patch, and it's actually the exercise is to learn how to patch something that needs patching. So it's very, very cool. And yeah, but I did have that idea today that I would show it to Lynn the next time we run across one another and get her ideas about what this was for and get her to try to date the fabric. I just had that fleeting thought. It's like, well, maybe that could be my project to figure out how to date the fabric. But, you know, I'm not going to be able to date the fabric. So anyway, the other book I got, and I can't even remember what I searched for to find it, but it's really cool. So what it is, it's a book, and on the cover it says School Laws of Pennsylvania, 1913. You open it up, and what someone has done is basically used the book as a scrapbook, and on almost every page, this person has pasted Nancy Page columns from 1934 to 1936. I'm assuming you are familiar with Nancy Page. Nancy Page is a fictional character who had a quilting group. The column itself was written by Florence LaGanck, LaGanke. Just rolls off the tongue. LaGanck. There's always a pattern for a block pattern. So here's Path of Thorns. Here's one called Arizona Star, Tic-Tac-Toe, Arrow Points, a San Diego Star, one called Wild Duck. So here's, let me, this one's like, they're little headlines. Do wild ducks come from Canada? This pattern does. One's called Flying Birds. And the headline is, Nancy Page, Flying Birds Come Home to Roost at Eventide. And she gives directions for the block. She gives a little bit of club news. A lot of these blocks are sent in, the patterns are sent in to the columnist of Florence. And then, so she'll say, oh, this came in from Mrs. Archer from Reading, Pennsylvania, and that sort of thing. It's really cool. Here's one. This is from, I don't have the copyright on this, but it's called, the block is called Maine Woods. So the headline is Nancy Page by Florence LaGanck. And the headline is Maine Woods Are Cool and Green Like This Quilt. Nancy had spent some summers in Maine camping and loafing when she was younger. She had always remembered the little lakes, the tall green pines, and the lower growth of scrub forest growth. She wondered why she cannot simulate something of the kind in a design for a quilt. After working for some time, she evolved this block, which she called Maine Woods. The colors are two shades of green, or one shade of plain green, a figured print in green and white, and white. She said the four corners represented large pine trees surrounded by underbrush. The center was a clump of study trees, and at the base of these trees were small sparkling lakes that glistened in the summer sunshine. The Nancy Page Quilt Club members agreed with her that she had stretched her imagination somewhat, but decided that the final result was attractive and worth using. The members clipped the picture and its directions as they appeared in the paper. They sent for the direction leaflet, following the instructions at the end of the column today. Then they pasted the newspaper picture in their scrapbook, just like this person did. They traced the the pieces of the pattern onto lightweight cardboard. After these were traced, they cut them out. Then the cardboard patterns were laid on the fast color goods. With a sharp pencil point, the outlines were traced onto the cloth. The pieces were cut, making an allowance of 1/8 to 1/4 inch on all sides. Then in a piecing, the seams were taken along these penciled lines. This ensured them blocks of exactly the same size. To make a quilt top for a double-sized bed, it will be necessary to allow 4 yards of white, 3 yards of medium green, and 2 yards of lighter or figured green. That allowance holds if the top is made 90 by 105 inches, and if the top is an all-over one. If, however, the blocks are put together with plain square blocks or with sashing, the amounts have to be changed. The piecing is done with number 60 white thread. The actual pattern for Maine Woods design may be obtained by sending 3 cents in a self-addressed stamped envelope to Nancy Page in care of this paper. Back patterns may be secured by sending an additional 3 cents for each pattern requested. Copyright 1936. Every page has a fabulous Nancy Page column. So isn't that, now, I should say that's not quite true, because I just turned to a page from May 6, 1936 with a column by Alice Brooks called Household Arts. And she has a pattern for a quilt. It's called Pattern 5591. To obtain that pattern, send 10 cents in stamps or coin. Coin preferred to Reading Eagle, Household Arts Department, 259 West 14th Street, New York, New York. Yes, so isn't that fabulous? Yes, toward the end I see more of the Alice Brooks. I was not familiar with it all, so that's new to me. I will put a picture of this book, which is just really super cool. And what I noticed today, what I hadn't noticed before, is when I opened up the book, and I will take a picture of this. Maybe I will spread them out. Essentially a template made, but it's made of like butcher paper. And it's, so there's some squares and some triangles. It looks to be about 2.5 inches. And they're secured by these pins that are very scary to me. They look as though they're probably made out of steel. And they really look more to me like skinny nails than pins. But I think they were in fact pins. So very nice Christmas presents. Intriguing. I like this kind of stuff very much. I also got Abstract Design in American Quilts, a biography of an exhibition by Jonathan Holstein. This actually came out. So this, the exhibition is the Abstract Design in American Quilts exhibition that was in the Whitney Museum in New York. I believe it opened in 1971. Yes. Which is a very important exhibit, as we know, kind of kicking off the quilt revolution of the 70s, which has continued on for many, many years. So it's essentially, but this book came out in the 90s. So I guess it was maybe the anniversary of it. There is a lot of text. There's a lot of text. It actually surprised me. I thought it was going to be primarily pictures of the quilts, but no, it is and I've only read some of it. And it's funny, what I've read is the part about how he and his partner, Gail Vanderhoof, started collecting quilts and came up with the idea for the exhibit and sort of talked the folks at the Whitney into having the exhibit. But it goes on. I mean, it's a long story. So I look forward to reading all of it. The book is out of print, but I just told the man that I wanted it and to get the cheapest used copy. I don't know if he did or not. It's actually pretty nice used copy. Finally, for Christmas, quilt-wise, I got Red and White Quilts, Infinite Variety, which is, of course, the book from the Red and White Quilt exhibit at the American Folk Art Museum. Beautiful book. Beautiful book. My sister-in-law and brother in Atlanta gave this to me. I requested it. And just, you know, the funny thing is I love Red and White Quilts very, very much. And the pictures of the quilts are wonderful, and they're grouped in a way that's very, makes, you know, they're grouped by pattern, first by type, appliqué or whole cloth quilt, pieced quilts, and then by patterns. And it's just so interesting to see the great variation in all the patterns. That was just the book. It's very heavy. It's a big book. But the opening spreads are actually of that, the exhibit itself. And I've seen many pictures of this exhibit. It kind of existed in the round. It was hung in the round. And it looks amazing. I think I would have been overwhelmed by it. I have to tell you, just looking at the pictures here, I'm like, wow. And also the quilts, the way they were hung, they were hung high. And they're like, how to explain this? Basically, three stories worth of quilts, you know, so, or in some places, four stories worth of quilts. That's a lot to look at. That's a lot for the eye to take in. So, I mean, I would have loved to have seen it. Don't get me wrong. If I'd had the chance to, I would have. But I do think I probably would have also felt, after an hour, I think I would have had to go home or go back to my hotel. But I love looking at the quilts individually in the pictures. It's a gorgeous book, and I'm very happy to have it. So one of the things I got for Christmas, quilty-wise, I got new pens, new flathead pens, and can you hear? I'm like Miss Sound Effect today. Ooh, listen to that. A magnetic pen holder. Yes, which is really nice. When I did the sewing tonight, I kind of just put it a little bit behind the machine. And so once I removed the pins from a piece, I just sort of throw the pins in the general direction. And the magnet is so strong, it just sucked them up. So that's very good. And as someone who, yes, a week ago spilled my whole bowl of pins yet again on the floor, I'm quite excited to have that. So I made quite a haul this Christmas, and I'm quite pleased about it. By the way, you'll notice no quilt diary, so I'm just going straight through today. I mentioned, I believe that it's Tuesday, December 29th, and I will get back on my professional podcasting 10-day schedule. Every 10 days. Last week I posted on Tuesday. Or was it Wednesday? It might have been. I can't remember now. Anyway, but I'm back. I'm back Mondays following Wednesday. So I'll post this tomorrow. It'll be December 30th then. But no quilt diaries because, you know, Christmas. And I worked on my pillows, which, of course, I never finished. I may end up finishing them this week. I mean, with the one, I finished everything except actually piecing it into a pillow. And really, it's an hour's worth of work. But now Christmas is almost over, so I'm like, eh. But I do. But it would be nice to finish it and then be surprised by it next Christmas, because I will have totally forgotten that I even made it. And the second one, I still need to do the embroidery, which I was enjoying, just not very good at. So no quilt diaries, because not a lot of quilting and just a lot of busyness. My feelings about Christmas have not changed. I think the week before Christmas is really just one of the worst weeks ever. Once Christmas comes, I don't find cooking Christmas dinner difficult. I think it's actually roasting a turkey is pretty easy. The turkey came out very nicely. We had a nice Christmas. As I think I mentioned last time, we did not have a visit from the jolly old elf. We just did presents under the tree, and that was great, and we had fun, and it was really neat. We, you know, the boys, we woke the boys up at 10, and then you know, they came down and we opened presents, and we usually have a Christmas brunch, but usually the boys for many years were like up at 7 o'clock. So when they got up at 10 and we were eating banana bread and clementines, and by the time we finished opening presents, no one was really hungry. So I made Christmas punch, which is a very nice cranberry, pineapple juice and ginger ale punch, and put out our various snacks. And Lord knows we have a lot of party mix around this house. Sans nuts, because Jack's got an allergy. But in any event, So we just sat around a living room with Christmas carols on, and we all got lots of books. So we just sat around reading. It was very nice. Christmas Day was really nice, and the last couple of days have been peaceful. And I've read a lot. And Jack went up to the mountains with some friends up to Boone to ski in the 75-degree weather, and he's coming home tomorrow. And then I think on New Year's Eve he's going over to a friend's lake house. And they're going to spend the night, which is good because it's kind of far away. So he's had quite the social life this week. And I'm just trying to figure out what we're going to do for New Year's Eve. I think nothing. It's like, no, really what I'm trying to figure out is, will I stay up to midnight? My preference would be not to, but I probably should. And we have been invited to a wine tasting party on Saturday, which of course I'm already dreading just because it's a party and I have to go. I'm sure once I get there, it will be absolutely fine and I'll have a good time. So, but in the meantime, I'm excited about making this fabric and playing with Victoria Finley Wolf and getting caught up on some podcasts. And I have a plan that I'm going to try to figure out, and perhaps you can help me. I posted recently on Twilters on Facebook in the Twilters group an article I'd come across about a quilt donation project, I think in West Virginia. And so some of you have seen the article because you are, in fact, Twilters on Facebook. And what it is that the quilt, and I'm not sure if it's a guild or just a couple people who do this, but they make quilts for, I guess, social services and the police when they have to take children out of their homes and put them into foster care, whether it's a temporary thing or a permanent thing. They have quilts for the kids. Whoever does it, let's say a guild does it. They make quilts for social services to have on hand. So when the kids go into this strange place, they've got something. Because I think that it's primarily these kids are taken away very quickly. So it's not a long planned thing. I think it's when they've got to go in and get the kid and get him out or get her out. And they can't really they don't have time to gather their possessions. Sometimes they don't have a lot of possessions. And so they get these quilts. I thought, yeah, that's such a wonderful thing. I thought, yeah, and I'd never really done donation quilts. I feel like I've always had a project, and the project's always been intended either for me or as a gift. But I thought, you know, it might be fun to work on some donation quilts this year and see if there's some kind of program like that here for kids who maybe are in going into a group foster home. There's several group foster homes in the area. At least there are a couple that I know of. I just see that as a really lovely thing to do and a giving thing to do, and combining doing something good and particularly doing something good for children with something that I love to do. So it's a win-win for everyone. I don't know how you figure out how to do this stuff. So if you know, let me know. Now, it could be that it's something that I could do either through my guild, which I very rarely attend, but they do have a donation program. But that my other thought is to go to the pastor at my church and say, she's got to be connected to all these social, Department of Social Service people. She might have a really good idea of who to get in touch with. And it might be something, I don't know other quilters in this congregation, but it's a fairly large congregation. And my guess is there are other quilters there. So it might be something nice for the quilters in the congregation to get involved in. But if you've got ideas, let me know. I see that my battery is running low, and so I'm going to hold this. I hope that the volume is not running low. I want to say thank you to everyone who commented. I haven't had a ton of comments. There hasn't been a ton of time, and it's been Christmas, so I don't really hold it against you yet. I don't hold it against you.
If you haven't commented, because I certainly haven't commented anywhere, it's been crazy. But I do want to say thanks to the people who were able to get over and comment. I want to say thank you to Noni and Kristen. I want to say thanks to Adele, who, by the way, says she bases all of her quilts with Elmer's School glue. Her instructions, you just squiggle it all over. It does not have to be really close together. I recommend applying it to the batting, not the fabric. That seems to work better. And the main trick is to only use a little. You do not want to get globs of it because it could cause skipped stitches when you're quilting. All right, Adele, that is good to know. I appreciate the instructions because that obviously, I think I said this last time, really didn't know how you would use the glue. So now I do, thanks to Adele. Heard from Tammy. Yay. She was commenting. She's very proud, and I am very proud of her for commenting before Christmas. You know, I talked in the last episode about how slack I am. I'm not a quilt perfectionist, and Tammy is a slacker too. She says, as long as it's not too noticeable, is not easy to fix, and the quilt will still hold together, I leave it. Tammy, you are a girl after my own heart. She says, we're supposed to be having fun here. Yes. Heard from Jenny, also commenting before Christmas. Thank you so much. Heard from Lizzie, who says, and this is in response, I believe, to my imperfections, I want to see the human hand in handmade objects. And I do too. I so agree with you, Lizzie. She says, I can get perfection from a store. The flaws in the cherished quilts handed down from my mom are what connect me to her. And Lizzie then says, your finished quilted projects are fantastic. Thank you, Lizzie. I could not like you any more than I already do right now. And Lizzie also liked the quilting, the pillow that I posted and that pattern. So yay, I'm so glad that that was helpful to you, Lizzie. Heard from Sue. And by the way, thank you everyone for all the nice things that you said about my table runner. I'm very pleased with it, and we have not spilled on it as of yet. Sue has given up trying to get projects done by Christmas. And yeah, that's where I am with the pillow, Sue. She was hoping to get 2 droid quilts done. She has 1 nearly complete and 1 not started. Birthday's around the corner. Thank goodness. Oh, by the way, Sue posted another comment saying, you know, in the last episode, my very professional episode, I posted a picture of Jack because I haven't done that in a long time. And she says, Jack is so much taller and thinner than I imagined. You grow your boys big and your dogs small. In my head, it's all backwards. And yes, I continue to think that's hilarious that people think Travis is big. And yes, Jack is tall. He is probably 6'1", heading for 6'2". And right now he's very skinny. He's swimming, and it's interesting because I'm seeing his sort of neck and shoulders fill out a little bit, but he's a skinny kid. And then I got a nice long comment from Jay. Thank you. And she also thought Jack was a sturdier guy. So yeah, I mean, he's sturdy, but he's thin. And the thing is like he dresses great for it. You know, just skinny jeans and black chucks and black band t-shirts and flannel shirts. He looks very cool. So anyway, I would like to be tall and skinny. I guess I have to live vicariously through Jack. By the way, Jay included a link to a really, yeah, we're back to copyright, a really interesting article on copyright in which many copyright laws or myths are debunked. So here's one. The first one: if you make something yourself from a commercially available sewing pattern, it is illegal to sell it because of copyright laws. Not true, says this blogger. And this is soeasy.com. And I will try to remember to also put the link in the show notes, but it's in Jay's comment for episode 178. It says, a sewing pattern itself may be subject to copyright law, but that is only the pattern illustrations, diagrams, written instructions, and the pattern envelope art. That means that you cannot simply photocopy or scan in the sewing pattern and then sell copies of it. Naturally, I'm sure you wouldn't do that. You can sell things that you make from sewing patterns with only minor limitations, et cetera, et cetera. So very interesting stuff. If you are as interested in these issues as I seem to be, check that out.
I want to thank everyone for commenting, and I think I'm going to finish this up. I think there are other things I meant to talk to you about, but now I don't recall what they are because, you know, that's just the way it is. That's the beauty. Every year it happens, I make my Christmas wish list, I give it to the man, and then I totally forget what I put on it. And so I'm really delighted and surprised on Christmas morning. It's like, oh yeah, I really wanted that. Yeah, so anyways, I hope you have had a great holiday, whatever holidays that you celebrate or do your best to avoid. I will be back a week from Monday. That will get us way into the new year. I'd love to hear if you have resolutions. I have resolutions, but I know I won't keep them. I think, yes, I started a long time ago, earlier on in this episode, saying, yeah, that there's some things, talking about walking. I don't know how I got off track, but that is something that I do without having to resolve to do it. And it's harder. And I don't know if it's both habit and love. So I wish that I could make a habit and really enjoy to love not eating, a habit of not eating. I mean, you got to eat some. That's the problem. Anyway, resolutions. But if you have quilty resolutions, love to hear them. I hope you appreciated, by the way, the episode 178. The last episode was called the unprofessional episode, and it was truly unprofessional, and I totally messed up the back bumper music-wise. So if you downloaded from iTunes, it said that the podcast was an hour and 16 minutes long. It was only 45 minutes, and then you had to wait another half hour to get to the bumper. I don't know how I did that. I revised it for the website, but I couldn't get iTunes to revise. So anyway, yeah, so it was really unprofessional, but I think this one is perhaps the most professional podcast I've ever produced. So thank you very much. Have a great next 10 days, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.